ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। मंगलाचरण। ओम अज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वन्देहं श्रीगुरुः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सहगण ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधाकांत नमस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। वांछकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासति गौर भक्तवृंद। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयामुदीरयेत्। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। सो आई सीक द ब्लेसिंग ऑफ ऑल द डिवोटीज एंड थैंक यू फॉर गिविंग मी एन अपॉर्चुनिटी टू स्पीक ऑन श्रीमद् भागवतम। इट्स अ वेरी इंटरेस्टिंग श्लोका इन हैंड and I found an interesting flow in Srila Prabhupada's purport. So we'll see as we read it. I will request the devotees to actually open their smartphones if they have a Vedabase, and you read along as we read, because we're going to read and then discuss and read and discuss. That will be like, I will be doing like that. Before we start with this shloka, I would just like to give the link from the previous shloka which we discussed yesterday. We have discussed yesterday, just a second. Should work. Sometimes technology should work. Okay. Yes. Yesterday we discussed a person who is very hungry, has longing for sufficient food. Please mark this point. He desires food and he becomes weaker and weaker and his senses are automatically pacified and therefore he cannot do envious activities toward others. And in such way, he automatically is the results of austerities and penances adopted voluntarily by saintly persons. Now, a person can raise a question. He is still not desireless. What is that desire? Desire for food. So, he will still not be liberated because still there is desire for food. So, in this shloka, it says, no, that desire will also go away by association of devotees. This shloka explains this, that this desire for hunger, and obviously hunger means some desire for money, to get food, also will go away because being poor, he has easier, much easier access to the saintly association of devotees. This is the theme of the shloka. So we'll discuss now. We'll chant first. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.10.17. So this is Naraji contemplating like a doctor. What should be the best remedy for this diseased person called Nalakuvira and Manigriva? He is not really angry because Rajogun cannot touch him. So we'll chant this. Daridrasyeva yujyante sadhavah samadarshinaha sadbhichinoti tam tarsham तत आराद विशुद्ध्यति। सिनोनिम्स। Daridrasya of a person who is poverty stricken. Eva, indeed. Yujante, may easily associate. Sadhavaha, saintly persons. Samadarshinaha, although sadhus are equal to everyone. To the poor and the rich. The poor man can take advantage of their association. Sadbhihi, by the association of such saintly persons. Chinoti, reduces. Tam, the original cause of material suffering. Tarsham, the desire for material enjoyment. Tataha, thereafter. Arata, very soon. Vishuddhyati, his material contamination is cleansed off. Translation: saintly persons may freely associate with those who are poverty stricken, but not with those who are rich. A poverty-stricken man, by association with saintly persons, very soon becomes uninterested in material desires, and the dirty things within the core of his heart are cleansed away. So, today my style of presentation will be that in the purport of Srila Prabhupada, I will raise a question and say, if there is a question like this, then Prabhupada will read the purport and say, Prabhupada answers like this. I think it will be interesting to devotees here. But before we enter into purport, I would like you to again go look at the shloka and then we go into the purport. Daridrasya eva yujjante. Yuj means to connect, as we heard in the word yoga. So daridrasya are people who are poor, they have a chance to meet sadhus. So now somebody may say, do the sadhus are biased to people who are poor? Do they only want to give their association who are materially poor? Then the shloka says, no, they are samadarshi, they are equal in their vision, they want to give the mercy to everyone. But because of being materially poor, there is quite easily accessible, the sadhu's association is very easily accessible to those who are poor. That is what is being mentioned here. It's not that the sadhus have a bias towards poor or rich, materially speaking. And what happens by that association? Sadbhi. Sadbhi means by the association of sat, by the association of devotees. Shinoti, decreases. Chin, we have, no, those who know Hindi, they know chin. Chin means to become less. Tam tarsham. Tarsham means desire for sense enjoyment. Already the desire, he had not got an opportunity for sense enjoyment because of poverty, but does not mean that his desire for sense enjoyment is not there. So that desire for sense enjoyment would have led him to another birth. So that tarsham, that traction, you understand, pulling of the senses is also removed. It becomes very less, or it becomes weakened by this association of devotees. And Prabhupada will very clearly explain this, how this happens. And tata arad vishuddhyati. Arad means very quickly. He very quickly becomes cleansed of these material desires. So understanding the shloka, we will now go back to, we'll enter into Srila Prabhupada's purport. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is said, mahad vichalanam nirnam grihinam dina chetasam. So Prabhupada is saying in this that, now I'll raise a question. What is the need for sadhus to travel? Are they in want of something? Sadhus are actually happy with their bhajan. By serving Krishna, naturally they are very satisfied. So they are not traveling to collect donations. that has been told by Shukadeva Goswami, is it not? If actual sadhu is there, he can simply depend on things which are given by nature. In second canto we hear, he does not have to, I would say, butter a person who is having money to provide for his sense gratification. This, I think, there is no objection. We have heard that. Taravaha kimna jivanti ityadi. And also he says, Shukdev, no, that is Shaunakadi Rishi.
Shukadeva Goswami says, if you have barks to cover your clothes, obviously we don't do that. But actually sadhus can be completely independent of society. So, what is the reason? Then Prabhupada says, the only business of a saintly person or sannyasi, a person in the renounced order, is to preach Krishna consciousness. Now, is something interesting. If the shloka, if you see what Prabhupada has quoted, Mahad vichala naam niranam grihi naam dina chetasam. So person can again raise a question, why the sadhus have to travel? Can't the people who are attached to their household life come to the sadhus themselves and hear Krishna katha? So the answer is dina chetasam. Dina chetas, din means lowly. Their consciousness is lowly because the consciousness is fixed in household duties only. That's why the word is grihinam. But then there is a question also that when they move, it will be difficult to perform sadhana outside. We all have experience, even in bus parties, difficult to, every day you have to find a new place and it's a little austere to be on the road all the, I mean at least to me it was, I was feeling like that. It's much easier to practice Krishna consciousness in temple atmosphere. So even at the sacrifice of their own sadhana, they are doing it. It's like reaching out, outreach program, because they know normally a person in a home will not find time to go to sadhus and hear unless he's on Zoom. Now that's a different thing, because when Prabhupada was writing this purport, Zoom was not there, where people can sit in their home and hear Krishna katha, what the sadhus are discussing. This is something very good. But sometimes even that is difficult, you know, to switch on the button on the mobile is such a difficult thing. Somehow it doesn't get pressed. You know what I'm trying to say. So now, so that is quite amazing. Only business, Srila Prabhupada elsewhere says, the only business of a devotee is to preach the glories of Krishna. So this is very nice. What real sadhu means, his existence is for preaching, glorifying Krishna so that others can be benefited. Otherwise, he knows there is no chance for a person to come to Krishna consciousness. Now, second question can be there, which is referring to the word Samadarshina here is there someone who is particularly an object of their mercy? When they are going out, are they seeing that this person I will give mercy and this person I will not give mercy? If that is a question, then Prabhupada says, I hope you are following what I am trying to say. If you have the text in front of you, it will be easy. Sadhus or saintly person want to preach to both the poor and the rich. But the poor take more advantage of the sadhus preaching than the rich do. A poor man receives sadhus very quickly, offers them obeisances and tries to take advantage of their presence. Whereas a rich man keeps a big greyhound dog at his door so that no one can enter his house. He posts a sign saying, beware of dog and remain unaware of God. That's what he wants to say. I want to remain unaware of God and you be beware of my dog. You will really laugh on this point. One devotee told, my mother cannot come to Japa. Why? We have a puppy and she has to take care of the puppy, and when the puppy grows old after 3 months, then she can chant japa. It's like somebody saying about his son, you know, that when the son grows old, then I will do chanting. This is the attachment of the people. Actually, this was most surprising for me. And avoids the association of saintly person, whereas a poor man keeps his door open for them and thus benefits by their association more than a rich man does. So now, we'll say something on these points, what Srila Prabhupada is telling here. The word Prabhupada is explaining here is Samadarshinaha. Without love of God, all of us are poor. Prema bina vyartha mora daridra jivana dasakori vetan mora diya prema dhan. Mahaprabhu is praying to Krishna that without love of God, I am poor. Why I am poor? Because we have lost our treasure. What is that treasure? The taste or the happiness, the unlimited happiness which the living entities, the eternal liberated souls are experiencing in serving Krishna in the spiritual world, we are bereft of that. Regardless of how much money we have in the bank, is it not? We have to accept that. I mean, for even sadhakas, it's a struggle to do bhakti. But anyhow, we are trying to gain money. But there are many people who are completely unaware of bhakti. Absolutely no chance. So they are seeing that whether a person is materially poor or whether a person is materially rich, they are both in poor conditions because they are bereft of their real wealth of Krishna consciousness. As Srila Narad ji explains in Brihat Bhagavatamrit, it's like eating a sag without salt. Obviously, sag is banned in this month. But an example obviously can be given. Just imagine eating a sag without salt. So if a person doesn't have love, he will not gain happiness in anything what he do in devotional service. So if a person is given that opportunity to develop love of God, at least he is given an opportunity to increase his wealth of Krishna consciousness. So that's why they are samadarshani. That means they are equally desirous of giving the association or the message of God head to everyone. This is what Prabhupada is saying. But as we have heard from Srila Prabhupada here, that people are putting dog, in, especially the wealthy ones. And sometimes if preach to them, then say, why are you preaching to us? We are okay. You preach to those who are actually suffering, as if they are not suffering. For example, there is a possibility, not a possibility, we see when we come for Mangal Arati, we see the two dogs in front of MVT, they have no problem in sleeping all throughout the year. Any disagreement? No, all the devotees have seen. But there may be a person who may have an air-conditioned room and can't sleep because he's worrying about his next day's business, next day's whatever his son might have not got good grades in exams, and so many anxieties. So are not the people who are having wealth burning? Rather, just reflect, whenever we have wealth, which is no problem, I'm not going against it, certainly everyone needs some wealth, but as soon as we have wealth, an anxiety comes, koi chura to nahi lega, will somebody steal it or not? And that has been told by Bhishma Dev, that nobody, money does not serve anyone, everyone is a servant of money. Anyhow, that's a big topic. It brings lot of anarthas. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also says same thing. Wealth, it gives you signal why you should do austerity. I will take care of you. Austerity should be done by poor people. Why you should? You have sufficient money. Why should you do austerity? Why should you do tapasya? Which is a greatest disadvantage, because through tapasya only we can have access to spiritual happiness. So this we say, when a sadhu will say, you chant Hare Krishna, why should I chant Hare Krishna? You should wake up early in the morning, why should I wake up early in the morning? My business is going very nice. I personally know one of my relative, he would not accept Krishna consciousness for 17 years till the business went down so much that they had no money to eat food. They had to actually take loan money from other relatives and then eat food because of this corona thing like that. Then chanting Hare Krishna is very good. Now they are able to accept, and then they are saying, Ore, since long time you have been giving us very nice thing. I was so foolish that I was rejecting it. So I have seen it personally here. That sometimes when people are bereft of their wealth, then they can understand the value of Krishna consciousness. So this is very clear from Srila Prabhupada's purport. And it's quite interesting that sometimes people come to me and they say, Prabhuji, we want your darshan. I tell them, if my darshan would have helped anyone, I would have put a mirror in front of you myself, and I have started seeing myself only. What benefit I can give you by my darshan? And then say, I will give you darshan. Darshan refers to philosophy. That they don't want to attend. Quite interesting. When we talk of Krishna consciousness, that darshan they don't want to take. But they simply want to touch the feet. I think it must have happened with many sadhus. They see the red cloth and they say, want to touch the feet. They want to have the darshan so that their tarsham, their material desires for enjoyment may continue unabated. Which is like going to the doctor and say, Doctor sir, my fever is 103. Can you make it 104? I want your blessings. It will be very, quite unreasonable, is it not? But that's what they expect. You know that past time of Srila Prabhupada, where Prabhupada was in train, and then somebody says, Maharaj, give us blessings. What blessings you want? Prabhupada understood what they wanted to say. We have some problem in our knee. Can it be fixed? So Prabhupada said, you go to the doctor, why you are coming to the sadhu? They just don't know. Just like if you go to a doctor and say, my shares are going down, I am having experiencing loss in my share. Can you help me? What the doctor will say. So people, even if the wealthy people sometimes approach a sadhu, the purpose is to increase their wealth, which will increase their tarsham, increase their desire for material enjoyment, increase their tenure in the material world. So Prabhupada is saying that they are equal to everyone, but relatively poor people or poorer people take advantage of their association. Just like, I don't have a bottle here, but you can imagine, if we have an empty bottle and we put it in Ganga, but the cap is closed, no matter how long it remains in Ganga, not a drop of water will go inside. So this is how it is there. Many times I have seen, I have personal experience, somebody died in his home, somebody's home, and they're quite wealthy, and they invited me for katha. I said, nobody will listen to me. No, Prabhuji, you come. And that's what happened. We went there and they thought they are coming for some decoration purpose. Nobody was interested, and I could not speak for 10 minutes. We just went back to our car and came back to Vrindavan. They are not interested. One person called us for a home program and he was drinking tea as we were doing kirtan. I said, what is this? Chimte bajane wale hain kya? You think we are players of chimta? What is this? Some performers? So we chastise. Now, third question is there any evidence to prove what Srila Naraji is saying here, that poverty stricken people are more accessible to sadhus? Is there any evidence? Then Prabhupada says, because Narad Muni in his previous life was the poverty stricken son of a maid servant, he got the association of saintly persons and later became the exalted Narad Muni. It's not that he's telling something out of theory. From his own life, he has experienced how by being a son of a maid servant, he could very easily access the association of Bhakti Vedantas. Yes. And not only association of in terms of hearing, prasang and paricharya, and he also served them personally. That is also very rare for a person who is wealthy. This was his actual experience. Therefore, he is now comparing the position of a poor man with that of a rich man. So you see, it appears that he is cursing Nalakuvira and Manigriva. But he is not cursing. He is going to restrict their sense enjoyment. First, after deliberating on what curse has to be pronounced. And he will give them the association. They will have association of the Brajavasis directly. And based on his own experience, just like here in this world, sometimes if you are suffering from a disease which has been cured by a medicine, and we see the other devotee also is suffering from the same disease, don't be prescribed in the same way. I have been suffering from that disease. He has the same problem. He should be given the same medicine. So, Naraji is saying that I have been cured of my material disease by the association of devotees because I was in a poor family. So same, I would say, facility should be given to these people. Because of their wealth, they are not getting Shishi Krishna Balram, Shishi Gaura Nitai, Shishi Radha Shyam Sudarsikya. Because of their wealth, they are deprived of the facility for association with sadhus. Please compare. The poor man is naturally deprived of his ability for sense enjoyment. We read that? The wealthy man is naturally deprived of his facility for association with sadhus. So Naraji is saying to, if I remove their wealth, then they will have natural facility to gain the highest wealth. I'll repeat it. If I remove their wealth, they will get the natural facility to get the highest wealth of love of God, which we will see they will actually get by the mercy of Krishna. Okay? Now, next question is, in what way do the sadhus benefit a conditioned soul by their presence? Do they release some kind of energy from their hand? Or do they pronounce blessings for material prosperity to people whom they visit? Because he had a problem, he had insufficient money to even eat food. So definitely by the blessings of sadhus, So much money will shower upon his kutiya, is it not? Chappar phad karke. He said that. Dene wala deta hai to chappar phad ke deta hai. So when Krishna will give, by the mercy of association of devotees, he will have so much that even his kutiya will break. Yes, yes, we have understood. So by the association of devotees, he will get money, and in that way, all his problem will get solved. Is that what you are saying? Then Prabhupada says, no, that is not the way they give benefit. And he quotes a beautiful shloka. If you have the shloka in front of you in your phone, you can chant after me. Satam prasangan mama virya samvido. Bhavanti hrit karna rasayana katha. Tad joshanadashva pavarga vartmani. Shraddharatir bhaktir anukramishyati. 3.25 by 25.25. If one gets the advantage of association with saintly person, by their instructions one becomes more and more purified of material desires. I would again like to visit this shloka. This is very nice. Satam. Satam refers to devotees of Krishna. Prasangam, nice association, that means sitting together and hearing about Krishna from them. Mama virya samvido. Mama virya means my potencies, my glories. Samvidaha, very nicely understood. So when a person associates with devotees, then he very nicely understands the great glories of Krishna. How, what kind of effect it has? Bhavanti hritakarna rasayana katha. Rasayan, abode of rasa, tasteful rasa. They become, these kathas, these narrations are very pleasing to ear. I was giving, I give class every day. One time it was a little philosophical. Normally it is philosophical, it was more philosophical. So I asked the devotees, the audience, how was it? Sunne mein achha lag raha tha. It was good to hear, not good to understand, but it is good to hear. I remember when I was first reading Bhagavad Gita of Srila Prabhupada, very nice, very nice, very nice. Not understood anything, but very nice, very nice, very nice. I think devotees had this experience. That in the beginning, we don't understand, but feel it is very nice. So it is very nice to hear for the ears. And when the person reflects upon the meaning of what was spoken in the class, it is very pleasing to pleasing to the heart. That's why it is said hritakarna rasayana katha. The narrations about Krishna, when it is heard in the association of devotees, and Srila Prabhupada says in the translation, in the parampara system, as which has been disseminated in the parampara system, are very pleasing to the ear. Why it is pleasing to ear and heart? Because Krishna is pleased by such narrations which are received in parampara. What happens by that? Tad joshanad ashu apavarg vartmani. Apavarg means liberation and vartma means path. So if a person is engaged in that way, his path of liberation is ashu, very immediately opened. It's not that after years of sadhana that he will become liberated. As soon as he sits, from the first day we have heard or sat in a Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam class or any Krishna conscious discussion, our path for liberation has been opened. That means the visa has been given. Now we have to use the visa, buy the ticket and move on, and we become liberated. How? What is the progression? Then says Shraddha Ratir Bhaktir Anukramashati. First a person gets Shraddha. Shraddha he refers to a taste for hearing such literatures, a taste for those discussions. He plans to again and again hear this, come in the association and hear such discussions. And then which will eventually mature into rati, which means bhav, and then into bhakti, which is prima bhakti. So this kind of benefit is given to the poor people. It is not necessarily that they will be given money by the sadhus. So that's what it is. And if a wealthy person hears, then also he gets the same benefit. So this kind of benefit, that means the benefit of achieving prima bhakti eventually, is given by the association of sadhus through their instructions. Tato dusanga dusrajya sat susadhe sastu sangeta buddhiman. It's mentioned same in 11th canto by Lord Krishna, that a person should dissociate himself from bad people and must associate with good people. And ukti bhi, by their uktis, by their words, they cut down our attachment, which is very, very, very strong, like a knot in the heart. So we're learning this from Srila Prabhupada, that the instruction of sadhus are their help. Apne vachno se sahayata karte hain. And by instruction, we are helped a lot. Suppose we are on the edge of a cliff. Cliff, you understand? And we are about to fall down. And somebody says, hey, hold on. Has he not helped us with the instruction? And if you say, I know what is best for me, fine, go ahead, try it. But that's what the sadhus know, that people don't know that the goal of life is Krishna, and they instruct people with that. Okay? Now, somebody may raise a question, so by associating with sadhus, I'll become free from material desires, but what is the need for free from, what is the need for becoming free from material desires? They are very good. If I have material desires, I'll enjoy materially. Kya dikkat hai? What is the problem? Why should one become free from material desires? Is there any problem in having material desires that we should want to remove them? If that is a question which is raised, then Srila Prabhupada answers, Krishna bahir mukhaya bhoga vanchakare nikatastha maya tare jhapatiya dhare. Rimavivarth. Material life means that one forgets Krishna, and that one increases on one's desire for sense gratification. So what will happen? When Krishna bahirmukh, since beginningless time, the living entity has turned away from Krishna. It doesn't have any knowledge of serving Krishna. So that's why it is desiring sense enjoyment. And that's why nikatastha maya, which is very sitting close, catches the living entity. But it is not that she catches and gives you some kind of affection. She is a very harsh mother. The laws of material nature are very cold. The other shloka in similar vein is that Krishna bulia jeev anadir bahirmukh ate maya de tara sansara dukh. Because of being forgetful of Krishna, the living entity does not remember Krishna. That's why only the maya is giving slaps. So material desires means qualification for being slapped by maya. You know the slaps. The definition of slap, or the names of three slaps, are Adi Bhautik Kashta, Adhyatmik Kashta, Adidevik Kashta. And apart from that, Janma Mrityu Jaravyadi. So all this suffering is inflicted upon the living entity because of his desire to turn away from Krishna. Vidroh ki bhavna, that sense of revolt against Krishna. Achha, theek hai, I've understood that material desires are not good for me, but how sadhus will help me? How can the sadhus help me? If that is the question, then Srila Prabhupada answers, but if one receives the advantage of instructions from saintly persons and forgets the importance of material desires, one is automatically purified. Amazing, is it not? Forgets the importance of material desires. When material desires arise in our heart, which constantly happens every day, we tend to give it so much value. I must fulfill these desires, otherwise shunyaitam jagat sarvam. My whole world is vacant without fulfilling that desire, is it not? Sometimes some of my students say, Prabhuji, our mind is not cooperating during our chanting. Then ask, give them the answer, why you want to cooperate with your mind? Make sense? If the mind is not cooperating with you, if you don't cooperate with me, why should I cooperate with you? So why I should listen to the mind and do what the mind is saying? It needs some practice, but that is how we have to do. Very, very nice point. Srila Prabhupada elsewhere says, by chanting Hare Krishna, we realize that our only object of love is Krishna. So, forgets the importance of material desires. Material desires are not important, but we tend to give importance. So then he forgets about it. Just like many of us have given up TV, drinking tea and all that, which used to be so much important for us. So Prabhupada says that by the instruction of saintly person, he realizes the importance of advancing in Krishna consciousness. As in the beginning, obviously, we may not even accept what is being said, but as we keep on hearing, it descends in our heart or consciousness. No, the goal of my life is not sense gratification. Sense gratification is not bringing me any happiness. In Hindi, we say, bas itna hi, only this much. I endeavored so much for sense gratification and I'm only getting this much only. No, no. I must persevere the path which has been given by sadhus and see how they are happy. Before we go forward, I'll give you a real life story. I heard from some devotee about His Holiness Niranjan Maharaj. So he was in an airplane, really funny. And some person who was sitting next to him started telling everything about his life to Niranjan Maharaj. I have this daughter and she has this problem and my wife has this problem, my business is this problem, this, that, so much problem. Then that person was surprised himself. Normally people in West, they don't tell about personal things to strangers, is it not? I mean, that is the culture in India. They will just sit in train, tumhara naam kya hai? What is your name? What they will talk. But in West, they don't reveal like this. So that person was very surprised. Then he said to Maharaj, do you have wife? He had no conception of what is sannyasi. No, I'm a sannyasi, we don't marry. Do you have home? No, we don't have. Do you have a bank account? No. So then he said, why am I telling you all these things? Maharaj, I don't know, why are you telling me all these things? He said, I am seeing that you don't have any of the things by which I thought I'll be happy and still you are happy. Maharaj is blissful, you know, he's always in high Krishna consciousness. So, seeing the happiness of the sadhus, they will forget the importance of material desire. Makes sense to you? What did I get by earning wealth? What did I get by doing any kind of sense gratification? I personally know, when I had come as a student in 2003, I saw Ayendra Prabhu right there. I mean, he used to sing in the evening. And his whole face, you know, everybody remembers, his face will become red as he's chanting kirtan. That is, I was very inspirational and bought his CD. I took it back to my college and would play in my room and dance alone, you know. Hare Krishna. And he used to sing very nicely. So that was very inspirational. Oh, I should also have some taste for Harinam like this. I'm still struggling. Prabhuji was on a different level only. But at least that aspiration is there. That sadhus are so happy. I remember one time I was sitting here in the kirtan party. And one person from the public, he came and sat just where our Madhu says Prabhu is sitting. And then he was looking and saying in Hindi, Yehi jeevan hai. This is life. These people are really happy. So you see, for a moment at least he forgot about his material, importance of his material desires which are only burning. Then, Prabhupada says, how it happens? Cheto darpan marjanam bhav mahadavag nirvapanam. Unless the core of a materialistic person's heart is purified, he cannot get rid of the pangs of Bhav Mahadavagni, the blazing fire of material existence. What does actually it means? Bhav Mahadavagni, it refers to the desire for sense enjoyment, constantly burning within the heart. And the solution has been given by Naraji himself in first canto. Matra isparsha chayamahu. Bhavas Sindhu Plavo Drishto Hari Charyan Varnanam Etad Hi Athur Chittanam Matras Parashe Chayamahu Bhavas Sindhu Plavo Drishto Hari Charyan Varnanam Etad Hi Athur Chittanam. Athur Chitta, you understand? Whose Chitta, whose consciousness is constantly disturbed. By what? Matra Isparsha Chayamahu Muhu. By these constant desires for enjoying the sense objects, to touch something, to see something, to obviously see Gauranita is a different thing. I'm just saying seeing sense objects, hearing sense objects, touching sense objects like this. We are constantly atur by this. Atur means in anxiety, like as if somebody is blazing in a blazing fire. And he says, so this is the problem he diagnosed, and the solution he says, Bhava Sindhu Plava Drishta. Drishta, this has been seen by me. There is no need to establish that Bhava Sindhu Plava, the way to cross the ocean of material existence is Hari Charyanu Varnan, constantly discussing the pastimes, name, form, qualities and pastimes of Krishna, which are like shower. Sansara Dava Nalali Dhaloka Tranaya Karunya Ghana Ghanatam. So how does the spiritual master diminishes this desire for sense enjoyment? By Krishna Katha. by Krishna Katha, by Krishna Nam, and that's how it gets destroyed. So this is what Srila Prabhupada says here. We have 10 minutes, so I will also take some opportunity to discuss something from Brihat Toshni, Brihat Vaishnava Toshni by Sanatan Goswami, and he gives a very interesting meaning of the word Samadarshinaham. He says, Ma means Lakshmi Devi, and Sama means who is always associating with Lakshmi Devi. Who is that? Lord Vishnu. So, the devotees, the sadhus are Samadarshinaha. That means they are constantly seeing Lord Vishnu because they are constantly associating with the Lord by the process of devotional service. Just like Naraji says, as soon as I begin to glorify Krishna, Ahut Eva, as if he has been called, he manifests himself within my heart. What an amazing way, no? When we can chant japa like that. We cannot chant japa like that by our own, by Krishna's mercy it will happen. And not only they are seeing the Lord, they are experiencing the bliss of the Lord in their consciousness. So, they also see that the poor people are also like them. Samadarshi has two meanings taken by Sanatana Goswami. One is that they are always seeing Lord Vishnu. And Samadarshi also means equal, seeing equal. That means they see we don't have material possessions and the poor people also don't have material possessions. So they like to associate with them and talk about Krishna. Are you able to follow this point? Samadarshi, they only want to see Krishna. Basically, they only want to engage in Krishna's seva. And they also see that in certain sense, the materially impoverished people are equal to them. What sense? We also don't have, keep money, any material things with us. They also don't have anything material to, with them. So, good. So then, not much opportunity for them for sense gratification. And we anyhow don't engage in sense gratification. So, they are equal. So, what is said? In Hindi, we say, in English, we say that. Birds of same feather flock together. So, they will listen to us. So, they will discuss Krishna Katha in their home. So therefore, they are very merciful. They are more merciful to the poor, and by their association, the desire for food and other things, which was a hankering for a poor man, that goes away. How it goes away? It described by Srila Vijayadwaj Tirtha that param drishtva nivartate, because by hearing in the association of devotee, he gets taste for Krishna Katha. He loses the hankering or even the aspiration to gain material gains in this world, although he is poor. And then, other things we will not say. We have discussed in Srila Prabhupada's book, but maybe I went little fast. I always try to make myself slow. I'm ask forgiveness for that, but sometimes my tendency to go a little fast. I just stop here if there are any questions or comments. Yes, Prabhuji, Hare Krishna. Not too difficult question, Prabhuji. I don't know much. So please, easy ones. Hare Krishna, please. Hare Krishna.
Wasn't too fast.
Oh, not too fast. Thank you. A little fast, sorry. Okay.
You're slow.
Hare Krishna. Philosophy is for those who have full belly.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, that seems kind of like they're the ones that can benefit from hearing, because they're not impoverished and they're able to be calm. For those who are struggling, just looking for food.
I can see Prabhuji's question, because some devotees might be not hearing this. Prabhuji's question is that those who don't have even something to eat, how they will sit in the class and hear Bhagavatam? I have not eaten anything since morning. we are punished in the Brahmacharya Ashram like that. You will not get anything to eat till 9 a.m. So still we are hearing. That is a funny way of answering. But that's why we have prasadam in our programs. If we don't have, I remember who. Yesterday, Dhirmandu Prabhu was saying, free food. So they went for taking prasadam and they become devotees. I remember Krishnanand Prabhu saying that same thing. He said, Krishnanand Prabhu told me that in West, when he was studying, he used to get free prasadam from devotees. So then he says, I am paying the price of free prasadam by my whole life. Just in a joking way. So devotees give prasadam also. So we give free food, prasadam also to poor people, so they can hear. They can sit down and hear Krishna Katha. So it's not a problem. We have food for life, so like that. But actually in Hindi, they have the same kind of comment. Bhuke pet bhajan na hoy gopala, lelo apni kanthi mala. That by empty stomach I cannot do bhajan. So you, I don't have, Krishna, you please take your japamala. I will not do bhajan. And same argument they give to devotees. Haan bhai, khane ko mil raha hai isliye bhajan kar rahe ho. You are doing bhajan because you are getting food to eat. But we can ask question to most of the people, are you going bhuka? Are you going hungry? But they still don't do bhajan. So on Ekadashi, we don't get much to eat, still we do bhajan. So it's a matter of inclination that people will, if even if they are hungry, they will hear something. And I understand that if they come to Krishna consciousness, they will never remain hungry. I don't think any of the devotee ever here has experiencing having no food someday. It ever happened in our life? I don't think so. Rather, it is more food every day rather than saying no food any day. How can that happen? And we remember now something very nice is coming to my mind, Srila Madhavan Puripad. How Krishna comes to him and he says, Baba, you are fasting. Then Madhavan Puripad says, how do you know I am fasting? He said, I used to come here. Krishna was kind of trapped by his question. He said, the Matajis who were coming here to fill up the water, they see they're not eating anything. And anyone, no one goes hungry in my village. A beautiful statement in Chaitanya Charitamrita. No one goes hungry. And I heard from devotees that even in Vrindavan, when in Braj, I don't have the data. Senior devotees told me 2 lakh sadhus are not dependent on anything and they get fed. Please correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe I'm 100% wrong, but that I heard from senior devotees in that way. So people are being maintained. Somebody who's a servant of serving Krishna, chanting Hare Krishna, how he can go hungry? So as Radha Govind Maharaj says, Dekhe sune na bhakt vikari. Devotees are not seen and heard as being beggars. And we hear from Leelamrita, is it not that in London devotees had no money and the money came from somewhere, is it not? So if that is possible and devotees have gone to Africa, all the senior disciples, Africa, Japan, everywhere, and they have not been unfed, is it not? So when a person becomes a devotee, Krishna naturally feeds. That's my understanding. He won't go hungry. Yes, Rose.
A poor person will think that if I'm rich, I'll be happy. But Prabhupada said, many of my followers come from wealthy families, they become hippies. But when someone achieves the wealth that a poor man is thinking and sees that there's no happiness, sometimes that kind of renunciation may be greater than the realization that, yes, I've achieved so much, but still I'm miserable.
Yes.
Let me give it up. Whereas a poor person may think, but if only if I had money and opulence, I'd be okay. That, I mean, it could be a, but I think the point is that you're also humble as a poor person. Sometimes you're more easily accepted.
Yes, Prabhuji. The point is, if somebody associates with devotees, whether he's wealthy or poor, he will get this understanding that I'm suffering here. I would like to quote His Holiness Badri Narayan Maharaj. He himself tells the story about himself many times. He's from a very wealthy background. And the devotees used to tell him that, you know, this world is a place of suffering and like this. And then he used to say, you people don't know how to enjoy. Maharaj is always saying this. You have not figured out how to enjoy. I have figured out everything in my life. Then I don't know the name of the devotee who preached to him. But one devotee actually told him, what was it, whatever his name, legal name was that time. But no one goes out alive from this world. And that one line, Maharaj says, that changed his whole life. Yes, you may enjoy very nicely, but you can't get alive from this world. So main thing is association of devotees. Just like we hear Naraji is preaching to Brigari, kind of a poor man and very lowly person. And he's also preaching to Prachin Barishat, who is the king of the whole world. So preaching can be, bhakti is not dependent on external situations. The only factor which is mentioned here, as you said, that a person who is rich, we will not sit and associate with devotees. That is the only difficulty he has. Otherwise, if he comes, anyone who comes and sits and hears, he'll become purified. Just like we know about Amrish Prabhu, is it not? Prabhupada asked him, where is your grandfather now? And that statement hit him so much, from such a big wealthy family also. So main thing is, we hear this in the case of Badri Narayan Maharaj, in the case of Amrish Prabhu, and also in the case of so many people, by the words and instructions of the saints, a person's consciousness changes regardless whether he has money or not money. That's my understanding of that. Yes, Prabhu. They should go to the house to preach. That's what I was saying. Real sadhus, yes. Question or comment? Theek. Hare Krishna. Thank you also. And oh, you have a question in the back? Yes, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Yes, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
My question is, it's very difficult to practice emotional service as rich family or for a rich man. Then, why Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 6.41, Suchinam Srinatam Lehe Yoga Shravidayate. Those who are fallen in yoga practice, they are given birth in the Supreme Family.
Yes. Very good question. If a person is rich and it is difficult to practice bhakti, then why it is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita that a person who is fallen is given birth in rich aristocracy? It is only said in the context that he will not have to worry about his maintenance. He will not have to worry about getting a software job. One of our students has a lot of money. So he is invested, now he is going to come to Vrindavan and just chant Hare Krishna and serve in temple like that. That is one thing. And we must remember that that is not the highest benediction. There are two cases. And within that, that when the two cases, second case is a person who gets born in the family of yogis. That means devotees. That is because that will make sure that they will take bhakti immediately. Take up. And Srila Prabhupada also says in the purport, there is a possibility a person who is born in a wealthy family to get derailed, if you hear, if you have read that. There is a possibility to become derailed, just like Nalakubira and Manigriva, who being born from a devotee family, in a sense. Nalakubira is not an outright non-devotee, something like that. So they got derailed by that. So wealth has that tendency. What to talk of a person who is born or something. When we get wealth, what do you think? I'm not, you means in third person I'm saying, what do we think? It is for Krishna? We have to be honest. Whenever we get money, do we immediately think it is for Krishna? And if I'll go a little bit heavy, how many of the devotees who have money are actually using 50% of their money for Krishna? So now, wealth actually makes us addicted. Does make us, it has a difficulty. So the Shastra does not say don't get wealth, but they say don't get too much wealth, because our whole life will be absorbed in and earning that wealth only. That's why sadhus do like that. So he is in a wealthy family, so he doesn't have to worry about it, but there is a chance he may get derailed. So higher destination is if he get birth in a devotee family. Okay, I shall stop here. No questions. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nithai Gaur Premanande.